previously.tv podcast network.
I want the pain to go away, but I want to be able to function too, you know?
This is the Again With This podcast, Beverly Hills 90210, Season 8, Episode 21, The Girl Who Cried Wolf. And now, here are your hosts, Sarah D. Bunting and me, Tara Ariano. Hi, we're doing this a little bit different than normal. Dave and I are still in the middle of moving. I am here with him in our rental, but we are in the same room, so he's not going to be talking, but he is here. Hi, Silent Dave. That is why I did the intro. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Silent Dave and Tara.
We also might get some dogs acting crazy, so apologies in advance if that occurs. What to remind you of? We have ads, which you can buy $100 for a commercial message, $50 for a personal message. You can tell us what to say. You can give us an outline. You can give us a script. We can make it work. I guess that's it. Let's get into it, Sarah.
Yeah, let's.
Oh, this episode. First of all, before we get into it.
All of them now, but yeah.
Just by the way, I just want to make sure those of our listeners who are not actually still watching the show, you all need to know Joey Tata is still in the opening credits. He shows up in this episode for a second, but that's the first time in like maybe since the Christmas episode. Like, he is barely on this show. God bless that man's agent.
Oh, seriously. See you later. It's not Tata.
Right. Tata, Tata, whichever it is. All right.
Let's call the whole thing off. But first, let's talk about this episode.
Okay. Starting with our B plot, Brandon and Steve learn about police brutality. So, as you may recall, in the last episode, Steve met a cute police woman, and in this one, they are having breakfast with her. Her friend is Tammy, and her partner's name is Glenn, and they spout a bunch of shit about how hard date rape is to prove, and we will get to that, of course. And also that DAs only risk their track record trying to convict rapists, whereas cops risk their lives, blah, blah, Blue Lives Matter, barf. Steve tries to get Glenn to cover for Tammy so that she can go out with him one night that week, but no dice. And of course, Nat, Sarah, when Glenn goes to pay his tab,
does not let him pay.
He does not. Although he at least says it's going on Brandon's tab, which evidence that Brandon has a tab, none, but whatever, fine. And
just put Brandon it on asks, Dylan's tab and he'll be back eventually to pay it.
So then Brandon asks if Glenn and Tammy will bring him and Steve on a ride along for a story, and it's on. And when I say it is on, of course, I mean journalistic malpractice, clip two.
Oh, I'm sure your pal's a real Boy Scout.
He said off the record.
Oh, that's okay. This is for promotional purposes only.
What?
I mean, just spell it out. Why don't you? Like, honestly, guys, if you're going to do this kind of advertorial, at least make the LAPD pay you, because Janet needs to eat.
Well, and also, I don't know, like the ride along. It's just so hacky, both like in life and on TV shows. Like, it's there's always a ride along. No, just stop.
Brandon asks how long Glenn and Tammy have been partners. It's been a couple of months. This is when they're actually on said ride along. Glenn was with his last partner for 5 years until he died in Glenn's arms. Yikes. And then a call comes in about a Latino robbery suspect and they're off. Question on the whole ride along thing. If they do arrest this dude, which ends up happening, where does he sit? Steve and Brandon are in the back. Like, we never actually see them put him in there with him. I don't know how that works. Fine, whatever.
I, based on my embarrassingly extensive viewing of programs such as Live PD, actually just Live PD, I mean, I think that they usually call, like, during a chase of this sort, they will call for backup. And then even after someone is in custody, like, even if it's like more than one person, they will call for a like transport backup. They seem to do that a lot elsewhere in the country. So I think that, but I mean, they could always just be like, get an Uber and like, we're taking this guy back to the cop shop.
Right, right.
We called you a cab.
Fair. So they see a guy running and Glenn decides that he is the guy. He is a petty thief named Louis that Glenn has busted, according to him, a dozen times. And they chase him into an alley, pin him against a fence, and totally in front of Brandon and Steve, Glenn pulls this guy, Louis, off of the fence and starts beating him with his nightstick while Tammy looks upset but doesn't actually stop him. And Brandon, same. And Tammy finally yells at Glenn, but Glenn is in a frenzy and ignores her. And Brandon, clip three.
Man, look at that guy.
I'm looking. I don't like what I see.
I let that go a little longer so that you can hear Louis going, this guy's beating me up, like barking up the wrong tree, dude. Brandon and Steve are not going to intervene. Sorry.
Well, and they both look like they both are making these total, like, very young boo boo kitty faces. You will see it in the visual aids. I'm sorry to report. And like, it's really difficult to take seriously for every other reason that you can imagine, having ever listened to this podcast before, but also because the blocking of this beating is extremely West Side Story. Like, yeah. I really expected Anyways to like dance in off screen and be like, cheese it, the cops. Like, oh, wait, that is the cops. But anyway, yeah, it's just very. He looks like he's swatting a fly that is near but not on Louis's head. It's not terribly effective. Shocker.
Yeah, it's not great. So as Steve and Brandon are leaving the police station the next morning, Brandon asks Tammy if he can talk to Louis. And Glenn says you have to take charge with guys like that because angel dust makes them think they're invisible. You know, angel dust, the drug everyone was still doing in the late 1990s.
Yeah, and especially like professional larcenists are totally doing PCP. Shut up.
So Brandon says he guesses that's where the nightstick comes in, and Tammy gets testy in clip four.
Just what kind of an article are you writing?
An honest one, I hope. That's what you'd want me to write, isn't it?
Yeah, just so long as it's no hatchet job.
You want to talk to Louis? Talk. My advice is that you wait till the PCP wears off.
Yeah, I know you said he was on drugs, but I couldn't tell. How could you?
Experience. That's where the baton comes in.
That is literally the key sound cue from the climactic scene in Stayin' Alive, the horrible sequel to Saturday Night Fever. She says authoritatively.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen it multiple times.
Oh, my God. Why must he always bray when he has no journalistic standing to do so? Worse.
Right. And not to stick up for Glenn, obviously, but like Brandon being like, I couldn't tell he was on drugs. Like, oh, OK. Like, so what the fuck do you know?
Yeah. Like, just because you got away with drunk driving.
Just because you saw fucking Dick get stoned one time doesn't mean you know anything.
Oh, my God. That seems like another life.
I know.
Remember Dick?
Barely.
Good old Dick.
So then Janet keeps her job for another week by approving of Brandon's story in clip five.
Stepping over the thin blue line. Catchy.
Thank you.
I just hate, like, everything I hate about the writing on this show and Brandon is contained in that little clip.
Mm-hmm. But Steve is all mad about Brandon's story because, of course, Steve is pro cop, which is when Tammy enters and says that Louis actually was not the guy. Someone else was arrested for robbery and confessed to both crimes, and Brandon lectures her, so she tells them a story in clip six.
About a year ago, Glenn and his old partner, they were on a routine arrest. Just like the other night, a chronic offender, only they were a little lax. And the guy was hopped up. He shot Glenn's partner, and Glenn shot back. Two dead bodies.
So you're saying a little excessive force might have saved two lives?
He rode a desk for a long time, and he got counseling.
Not enough.
He realizes that now, and he's going to get more immediately. Look, the thing is that he's just a few months away from retirement, and your story could ruin all that. He was a great cop.
Well, you were right. All the way, Brandon.
I don't think we should go with the story, though.
Neither do I.
What?
I have some comments.
I do, too. Please proceed.
Since when do you just kill the story to do Glenn a solid on his only in movies and on TV few months away full pension? Mm-hmm. This guy you just met, instead of just, I don't know, changing their names?
Yeah.
Also, Brandon gets fluffed for this somehow? You were right the whole time, Brandon. Shut up, Steve. Don't help. And we get a lecture on police brutality. And a lecture on why it happens. And, of course, Glenn gets counseling and is getting more. And LAPD does all the right things that it can do so that this situation can be nuanced.
Right.
No. No. All no.
Mm-hmm. Also, lucky for Glenn, this is the one time that they weren't pushing the story like 15 seconds before they actually had to go to press. This is the one time they ever got a chance to actually change anything in time to do it.
Jesus Christ. Well, I guess they can always rerun that, Rise of David Silver as the Fall of David Silver.
So true.
David Silver's stupid facial hair, a vomitous history. I hate it so much. I hate it so much.
And on to our A plot. Val's rape is hard to make fun of, but we're definitely still going to try. Speaking of hate.
Oh, God.
So Noah, the Richie Rich swell, is being questioned about Val's rape charge without a lawyer present. This would not occur. This just would never happen.
No.
Even though, of course, it's because he's denying it was rape, but not that he and Val had sex, and he's saying she's lying about not having given him consent. And the male detective that's questioning him asks if Val is lying about the Rohypnol in her blood, which that is not something you can lie about. Either it is or isn't. But Noah says he doesn't know who drugged her and that there were a lot of guys in the club that night. Not really a great advertisement for your club, by the way, but that's beside the point.
We're instituting sippy tops. What?
And in another room, Val is being interviewed by a female detective who tells her that Noah says that their sex was consensual. And she asks Val if she and Noah have a sexual history, suggesting that they had a Valentine's Day reunion for old time's sake. And Val asks if this scenario has her voluntarily having a roofie cocktail to break the ice. And also, the detective asks if Noah was the one who dumped her, and Val doesn't think that should matter either. And the detective says she wants to prosecute Noah, but to do that, she needs to know that Val didn't want to have sex with him. And Val says he took away her ability to know what she wanted and that she shouldn't be the one on trial. The detective is like, you're right, but, you know, patriarchy. I'm paraphrasing. And in a waiting area, Donna and David wait uncomfortably in clip 7.
What is taking so long?
It's rape. It's a serious crime.
Thanks, David.
I just love that occasionally, like, the dialogue slips up and treats her like the stupid baby that she is. Mm-hmm.
I mean, her fallback position, at least at this point in the storyline, is like, he didn't do anything. Like, she's not even allowing that they had some kind of sex.
Right.
This will evolve, of course. I kind of can't believe that David believes Val, given how he is all the time. But he, credit where it's due, they do a good job writing him, and he does everything right, I have to say.
Yeah, he does.
For once.
I mean, in this section of the story, at least. In other sections, not so much, but we'll get to it next time.
Right, right. So Donna insists that Noah didn't rape Val or even sleep with her, as I said. And David tells her to open her eyes, and she paces away, saying she can't handle this and is holding her back. And Josh, Noah's brother, notes her posture and asks if the painkillers aren't working. She says her back feels okay, but the pills are wiping her out, so she's trying not to take too many. And as it happens, he recently tore up his knee skiing and started downing pills. She wants the pain to go away without impeding her ability to function, and he helpfully says that's why she needs one set of pills to counteract the other. He'll set her up, and Donna just can't believe Val's accusation. And so she comes out looking wrecked and tells David she just wants to go home. And he asks what's going to happen. Apparently, they're not going to charge Noah until they can talk to the DA the next day. And then Noah comes out having a normal one. Just kidding. Clip 8.
I did not rape you.
Hey, shut up. Hey, hey, hey. All right?
Don't talk to her. Don't even look at her. How can you stand by him?
Forget about them, okay? How'd it go in there?
I don't know. It's her word against mine.
Look, we know you didn't do anything, okay?
Just give us a minute.
Yeah, no problem.
I shouldn't drink when I'm angry. Bad things happen.
Don't blame yourself. You did nothing wrong here.
Listen to me. Valerie and I, we did have sex.
What?
Look, I was drunk and jealous about you and David.
This isn't happening.
I did not rape her.
Tell me this isn't happening.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there are like, there are myriad ways this show obviously mishandles this storyline. I would point to Switched at Birth, which actually did a really, I mean, it's weird to say a nice job, but did a more thoughtful, considered job. With a storyline in which both partners were similar to this, incapacitated. Both of them were just drunk. One of them was not roofied. And, you know, what happens after that and who's responsible for consent when they're both out of their heads. Of course, this was like a couple of years ago as opposed to the late 90s. But the way the show equates, like, it's just as bad for Noah to have cheated on Donna as it is for him to have had sex with a person who was not capable of consenting is so gross. Like, these are two separate things. They're both terrible, but they're not equivalently terrible, and the show is acting like they are, and yikes.
Well, and I also don't understand, on a shallower note, like, why everybody is there. Like, it just seems like throughout this whole storyline, like, everybody is all in the same place where during the normal course of this criminal proceeding they would not be.
Yeah.
And also, Donna, if your back is bothering you, take the 5-inch platforms off. It's just a suggestion.
Seriously.
Also, shut the fuck up, you stupid baby.
Ugh, I know. So, okay, after the credits, David is mopily telling Jasper he can't record at night. The cheapest time they can book, apparently, because we all know how musicians love to work during the day, question mark. Because of Val's assault. And Jasper says they can postpone the keyboard tracks for a while, but as he hangs up, he looks pissed at how inconsiderate Val is for getting all raped and shit.
Hi, puppy.
Hey, Murray. And Val tells David that if the situation were reversed, she doesn't know if she would do the same for him, which is kind of hilarious. And like, I guess it's a good thing that no one raped him, particularly given whatever how much we might wish bad things to happen to him. Okay, not that, but I'm just saying. Started that sentence and didn't really know where to go with it. Moving on. Meanwhile, a meeting of the Walsh House Brain Trust is underway in Clip 9.
Why would she lie about being raped?
For the same reason she lied about being pregnant last year.
She did not ask a Noah for money.
Oh, yeah, just you wait. She lied about having an abortion, Brandon.
Noah was drunk. Maybe he just missed a signal.
Could he have drugged her?
I don't know.
The only thing we know is that one of them is lying.
And who would that be?
We were just talking, Valerie.
So we heard.
You feeling any better?
Worse, actually. And until a second ago, I didn't think that was possible.
Ugh. Move out.
Seriously, God. I mean, at least, you know, in this episode and the next, she's like a lot more, a lot less like needy about their friendship and a lot more willing to be like, well, until whatever, we'll get to it. But I just don't understand why you continue knowing these people. And the fact is, like, most of the lies that she tells that they point at to as evidence that she's, quote, probably lying about this. It's like shit that she pulled so that she could stay in the gang. Like, girl,
Yeah.
Move. Oh, don't just move out. Move out of Los Angeles. Oh my God. Yeah. Come hang out. It's fine.
You're already out of a job. Like, just, yeah, restart your life somewhere, honestly. So yeah. Noah comes back to his stupid boat to find Josh on the phone schmoozing some guy they know who went to law school with the DA. Noah orders him to hang up, which he does, claiming that if Noah makes a big campaign contribution, he will be off the hook. But Noah is ready to take his chances with a jury because he's the kind of rapist who has ethics and will not buy his way out of trouble. Sigh. At the apartment, Kelly is trying to have shit both ways, not saying that Donna should forgive Noah, but that how she feels today isn't necessarily how she will feel in a week. But Kelly still thinks she's really forgiven Brandon for his cheating, which is all they're saying Noah did at this point. And Kelly and Donna both make excuses for Noah. Kelly knows he loves Donna. Donna knows he was drunk and jealous of her and David. And Kelly also suspects that Val wasn't playing hard to get, but Donna isn't that shitty. In clip 10.
What if she was?
Donna.
What? He was drunk and he was jealous. Maybe he got out of control.
I know you're mad at Noah, but he's not a rapist.
I know.
Okay. Imagine being that confident about a person you just met like 5 months ago. He's not a rapist. Oh, I know. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Donna takes another pill, which Kelly notes. Donna called in sick that day. Kelly's going to blow off work too and keep her company. And when she goes inside to call in, Noah shows up. Donna tells him to leave, but he wants to explain in clip 11.
What? You slept with her. You can't explain that.
I could go to jail for this.
Noah, you did a really terrible thing, but nobody thinks you're a criminal.
I want her to tell me that.
She can't do that right now.
Well, and he can't even do that. Like, you can't prove that. Ugh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish they'd just stop conflating the conversations. Do you know what I mean? But whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, of course. So Donna goes straight to the bathroom to take more pills and to dry cry behind her stupid Barbie hand. And that night, Val worries about getting another job. David tells her things will get easier eventually. She's worried about the trial and about the public humiliation. And he asks if she wants to tell the DA she's changed her mind about charging Noah. She doesn't know how something she didn't feel could hurt so bad. Ugh, bad. Bad writing. Yeah. And then Kelly is still setting the Walsh table for the dinner that she made. She's not with Donna because her pills knocked her out. And being a bitch about it in clip 12.
You mind if I take some up to Val?
Of course not.
She's having a real tough time. Thanks for asking.
You know, I'm really trying not to be mad at you for letting her stay.
You know, Kel, it is possible that Val's the victim here.
I don't think so.
How could anyone make up a story like that?
If I've learned one thing this year, it's that people are capable of anything.
Cunt.
That's really fucking low. Like, I am not a Brandon fan, as we are all aware, but yow. Like that,
yeah.
All the false equivalencies, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
You know, you can't forgive someone and take him back and then keep holding it over his head. Like, if he's forgiven, great. If not, then don't take him back.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Like, I always enjoy Brandon getting, you know, given shit, but like, yeah, it needs to be the shit that he deserves. There's at least a hectare of that. Get a shovel and start there, and not with this thing that he didn't even come close to doing.
Yeah. So in the kitchen, Steve tells David, Val's boyfriend, he thinks she's lying like she did about her pregnancy and that she made up the rape story because David caught her in Noah's office, and that her end game is a payout, and this ends in shoving and a broken plate. And Val walks in. Sarah got a great shot in the visual aids of two people holding David back. Like, he weighs 97 pounds. I think one is plenty. Just poke him with a broom, pin him against the fridge. Anyway, Val walks in on Steve challenging Brandon.
Sweep him out the back door like a spider.
Showtime at the Apollo style. Val walks in on Steve challenging Brandon to tell David he also thinks Val is lying, and Brandon makes his shittiest face. You know the one. You can see it in the visual aids, though, as he says he doesn't know what to think. And then the DA calls for Val. They are not filing due to insufficient evidence. David says Val is going to stay at his place. Brandon says she's welcome to stay at the Walsh house, but she says it doesn't feel like it. And she is right. And also, Brandon is making the moment worse by having his thumbs in his back pockets, as you can see in the visual aids as well. Can't believe you didn't catch that one, Sarah.
I think I was distracted by him drinking out of a fairly large mug with a nice large handle by holding it around the rim.
Right.
Like a monster.
Right, right. The next day, Donna is not reassured to hear that Steve, Kelly, and Brandon are on Noah's side, and she's on her way out of the peach pit when Noah shows up and makes things worse in clip 13.
Yeah, they dropped the charges.
I don't know what to say to you.
How about you're glad I'm not being charged for a crime I didn't commit?
I loved you.
Soapy.
It is, and I think she's very bad in this whole storyline. But I loved you for some reason is very poignant to me. I think she actually sells at least that part of it.
Yeah, she does. It doesn't help that there's like honky tonk music playing in the background.
Boy, you are correct about that.
Yeah.
So when she leaves, Steve goes over to shake Noah's hand and congratulate him. Gross. And Brandon has an opinion also in clip 14.
Yeah, great news. I gotta tell you, I didn't do it. You did plenty. Nothing you haven't done.
Yeah! I wish we had
I hate having to take a side between them because they're both so terrible, but Noah is a tiny bit almost right as far as he understands the facts at this point.
My notes read Noah 2020 because this is just one of those times where, especially with that non-delivery of Vincent Young's, and he's like, nothing you haven't done, burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So outside, Josh stops Donna to ask about her back because he has a little pill box full of the jumpstart she needs. Do you want to talk a little bit about his pill box wardrobe, by the way?
Yeah. Okay. So this guy is visiting from out of town, right? He's not local.
Correct. Right? Yeah. He's from back east.
Okay, so he has, and also this is not something that I feel a boy would necessarily have, but he has a small, it's a pillbox, a vintage-looking, pewter square with, velvet in the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's really a ring box or whatever where you keep your baby's teeth.
Yeah.
And he hands it to Donna, and then, later on, he produces another one and makes a big show of sliding it very subtly across the table, and fold it in a post-it note, put it in an envelope. Why do you have this array of vintage pillboxes, alleged straight guy, is A, and B, why did you bring them all with you to Los Angeles? And why are you just giving them away now? Those are the kinds of things that would be sold in whatever, a country vintage decor store in my hometown for $79.
No, it's true.
It's just very odd. And I don't understand. I'm trying to think what was going through the prop master's head for this.
Yeah.
They also make the pills absolutely gigantic.
They're the size of prenatal vitamins. They really are enormous.
Actual horses are that's too big for me. Break them in half.
Anyway, so back to the scene. Donna does not seem to want the pills, but he puts the box in her pocket. In case she decides that she needs them, she sure is warm to Josh, given the current situation, which is another weird thing about her performance. She's super buddy-buddy with him. I guess he didn't do anything, but at the same time, you just met this guy 3 days ago. What do you care? Whatever.
Yeah.
He also tells her that Noah is a wreck and that whatever Donna wants wants Noah to do to make it up to her, he'll do it. And she wants him to make it so the other night never happened. Oh. And at David's, Val is compulsively cleaning. She tells him that Jasper called to schedule studio time, but David wants to blow him off some more. She tells him there's nothing he can do for her. He thinks maybe they could call the DA and try to change his mind, but she doesn't think there's any point trying to fight it because all men ever want from her is sex. She doesn't even think David is with her for any other reason, which he denies. And she starts aggressively coming on to him. And when he pushes her away, she just takes off her robe. But he insists that she stop and holds her. And he's actually, again, being pretty great in this episode for once in his fucking life.
Yeah. One note for the director. I just don't need to be that close to David's belt buckle.
No.
Much less twice in one scene. But yeah, David is a, you know, human being, which is more than you could say for almost everyone else in this episode.
And more than you can say for him, usually.
Yeah, seriously.
So Val wants Noah to know that what he did was wrong and that it matters. And David promises that they will make him see. And at work, Donna is way behind. And we meet some broad named Danielle, who seems to be another designer at Donna's same level, who offers to share her great ideas for the girls' line. But Donna insists that she will be ready and goes straight for the pill that Josh gave her. And then cranks out the whole presentation's worth of sketches, only to hear it's been pushed back a day and she can go home. But she is not relieved because now she's all cranked up.
As it were.
And then Val goes to see Noah at the closed Peach Pit after dark, saying she thought that he would have reopened it for the big victory bash. For real. Is this place ever open? No wonder you don't have regulars.
It's like you said in the copy for or the subhead for last episode, like they almost never have wine, so it makes sense that they can't really be open. But like the one night that they have enough wine for Val to have a glass, yeah. Fucking Josh dunks on her.
Seriously. Anyway, this ensues. Clip 15.
Look, I'm not celebrating.
You know, my friends think I made it all up.
I don't.
They can't even look at me in the eye. It's kind of strange that you can.
Look, I believe you're a victim here. It's not my fault. You came on to me as much as I came on to you.
You better work up a better defense than that.
Look, you're the only one I have to convince here.
Oh, and you actually think you could? God, your arrogance is amazing. But I guess that's going to work really well for you on the stand.
What are you talking about?
The civil trial. I'm going to file suit. I want everybody to know what you did to me. But don't worry. Chin up. $10 million in damages beats 20 years in jail.
Let me ask you this, Sarah. Okay. What did you think was secretly happening in that scene, if anything?
Nothing.
I thought she had a tape recorder and that she was going to record him confessing.
Okay.
So I guess good job, show, for not falling victim to that trope. But if she's not doing that, I don't know why she would go and communicate with him ex parte.
Well, yeah, I don't understand that. I also don't think I understand, like, it's not like wrongful death.
Yeah.
I don't think you can, like, all rape is wrongful. That's, yeah. I mean, I'm just not sure that any of this works. And, you know, not for nothing, but if only we lived in a world where the penalty for sexual assault was 20 years. Because, I mean, sentencing is coming around, but at that time, no way.
Mm,
yeah. Even if it were a criminal section, no way does he do any time, probably, because white guy.
So at the marina the next day, Josh is ready to make Val an offer. He thinks they can lowball her. No joke. I'm not joking about that. But Noah doesn't want to pay her off and defends her against Josh's charges of gold digging. And the show really needs to quit trying to make Noah the good guy in this whole scenario because no, like this is their way of trying to have it both ways. Like, well, the only, you know, like Steve saying, the only thing we know for sure is one of them is lying. Like, but that's not really true because they both don't really know what's happening because they were both out of their minds. But still, that doesn't make him right.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, for this show to approach this situation, which actually does have a lot of nuance, you know, none of it like good really is like to make Josh this like unalloyed monster, which they don't exactly even succeed in doing because the actor is like extremely likable, which is a problem.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
Even when he's like looming over somebody and being like Dr. Feelgood / roofie guy.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a problem because it's on the show.
Yeah, it's true. Also, Noah thinks if he pays off Val, everyone is going to think he's guilty. Josh says he won't. The important thing is that someone somewhere caused this. Noah wishes he could get his hands on whoever that is. Josh gets it. And then Donna calls for Josh. And he meets her at the Peach Pit so he can give her more pills in the aforementioned second antique pill box. And if her hair is this insane as a sign of, like, how whacked out she is on his various pills, like, it's working because it's crazy. Please see it in the visual aids.
I don't think it is. I think I've taken very similar screenshots earlier in the season when she was fine. She just, pulls. But there's one with, like, you can see the teeth marks of the comb. Mm-hmm. Where it was pulled out. Like, why is this happening to us?
No, it's like a dark orange jellyfish. It's very, very bad.
It is.
So Josh has two pills, as she had asked, but tells her that he does have more. She just needs the two. But she says she only needs the two he has to get her through her presentation. She has just downed them when Josh tells her about Val's lawsuit. And then David is meeting Jasper at the Peach Pit after dark. The record company is worried about David's commitment, but David just needs a few more nights and Jasper will get them. But David should know the company is talking about dropping him. David is shocked that he could get bounced out of this band after all these days. Like, wasn't his first gig with them like right before Valentine's Day? You know, like this is still, we're within a week of when that happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, David goes into the Peach Pit where he runs into Donna, and Donna is a bitch about it in clip 16.
Well, we always knew where Valerie was. Now we even know her price.
You know, I was really hoping this whole situation wouldn't affect our friendship.
You're right. I'm sorry. Just weird, you know, Noah and Valerie always thinking we were cheating on them, and they were the ones who ended up sleeping together.
Wait, they didn't sleep together. Noah raped, that's a big difference.
Well, the DA didn't think so.
Which is why Val filed her own lawsuit.
Confirming that she's simply in it for the money.
Okay, I guess it's safe to say that you're taking Noah's side.
About the rape? Yes, definitely.
Well, I believe Val.
But
why did you ever think you could stay friends through this situation? Like, that? How would that work? It wouldn't.
Yeah. Why would you think you could stay friends, period? David is usually terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's true. Also, so fucking smug to tell everyone about the lawsuit is Kelly, making the one of her worst faces, which you can also see in the visual aids, telling Brandon and Steve. And when Val enters, having assumed that they would all be at work, Kelly is a bitch about it some more in clip 17.
I'm curious, how did you come upon that 10 million figure? Were you thinking house, car, vacation spread?
Yeah. Did you take into account the lawyer's 30% cut?
Or is that just the price of dignity these days?
So what are you waiting for? At least they have the courage to trash me into my face.
I told you were welcome here. You still are.
I want him to admit what he did. If I got that in a nickel, I'd be happy.
These people are so fucking hateful. And, like, this is pretty out of character for Steve, too. Like, I just don't really buy that he's, like, with both feet jumping next to Kelly onto this Val's a gold digging slut bandwagon. I mean, it's not a good look for her, with the fake pregnancy, he did that too then. Yeah, true.
So, I mean, I guess it's not that out of character. It's just, anyway, whatever. Brandon tells Kelly he was hard on Val and she thinks he was easy on her, and he can't argue with her because he cheated on her, basically. But she's still holding that over his head. So Donna then nails her presentation, and the client doesn't even need to hear from Danielle about the boys line because Donna is amazing and she's up again the next day. And would you like to talk a little bit about the outfits of these fashion pros, which you can see in the visual aids?
There's a mock turtleneck. There's a very 90s, like, Nehru jacket with three buttons and only the top ones are buttoned. And there's a lot of gesturing and... I mean, these are people, they are in fashion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's children's fashion, but fuck's sake. Like, what are you wearing? You look terrible, even for the 90s and even for this show. Awful.
Yeah, I almost would like the narrow jacket situation better if it was in a color, but it's just gray. Like, it's not, it doesn't even have any, like, Steve Harveyan flair to it. Anyway. Josh goes to David's house looking for Val. David tries to get rid of him, but she agrees to talk to Josh, and he's all, you have no case, and tells her there's no point giving her lawyer a third of anything she would get when he can give her a cashier's check for $200,000 right now. And Val is intrigued. And then the phone is ringing in the beach apartment while Donna, a few feet away, ignores it. And as Kelly gets it, Donna dumps out her purse looking for her pills. And Kelly watches Donna's frantic search and asks her concerned questions, and Donna's all pissy, so Kelly backs off. But it was David on the phone saying that Noah offered to settle, and Donna is horrified. And David doesn't know if Val's going to take it, but Donna's sure she will. She can't believe that Noah's going to do this and admit guilt, and also she has to work on her presentation. And Kelly is still hovering, all worried. When Donna opens Josh's latest pill box, she freaks out that it's empty and takes off with the phone. And on the boat, Noah is yelling at Josh about the settlement offer, even though it would require Val to sign something saying it doesn't constitute an admission of guilt by him. It seems like Noah is thinking this is an okay deal when the phone rings and it's Donna, of course. But also, of course, she is calling for Josh and also to say that she can't believe Noah settled. And when they have hung up, he tells Josh to withdraw the offer. And Josh lays out that even aside from the roofies, they could get him on diminished capacity. Again, this is really blurring the line between what is in a civil suit and what would be in a criminal suit, but fine, I guess.
Well, yeah. And it's also like, don't point these things out if you still want us to like take Noah's side in this big misunderstanding, which was a class A felony. Like, right. Maybe just don't go there.
Yeah. And then David and Val are arguing over whether the settlement is the only justice she's going to get or if taking it means that she's selling out. And Jasper shows up to tell David in person that the record company is going to drop him. Val tells him to go because she can use the time alone to make her decision, and David will support whatever she decides. And then Donna shows up at the clinic to apologize to Kelly. Coincidentally, just as Kelly is doing drug inventory, Donna asks about her dad, and Kelly volunteers to go and see how long he's going to be with his current patient and leaves the keys in the drug locker. Oh, Kelly, as she goes. Donna helps herself to something and takes off. And then Steve goes to David's house to apologize to Val. Sort of. He does a really bad job, and she's basically like, that was a shitty apology and I don't trust you. As she should. And then Val goes from there to the boat to yell at Noah about the offer, which he says is withdrawn anyway, and things get worse from there in our final clip, clip 18.
What, you think you can just buy me off?
I just said there's no offer.
But you made one, and that just tells me you know you're guilty.
Once again, Val, I did not rape you.
Tell it to the judge.
With pleasure. And by the way, if you were drugged, I didn't notice.
Always such a sensitive lover.
We're both victims here.
No, I'm the one who got raped.
Not by me.
And what do you call sex without consent, huh?
A mistake.
One that's going to cost you dearly.
I thought you weren't in it for the money.
I'm not.
What then?
Just you. On the stand, under oath. So help you God.
Stop having these conversations without lawyers. Oh my God, both of you.
Yeah. Also, sexy guitar, you're not invited. Mind your business.
Ugh. And also, like, if you were drugged, I didn't notice. Like, gross. How many more ways can this be completely mishandled, this whole story? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, whatever.
Well, there's more to come, so.
There sure is, so let's move on. Here. Yeah.
Okay, who is your pick for MVP?
Noah, sorry.
What?
Nothing you haven't done? I'm sorry.
Wow, that is a bold choice. I'm going to say David, who is actually supportive and put his own needs aside for the sake of Val and her recovery.
Yeah.
Least valuable player. Josh, the antique pillbox waster.
Kelly, the completely unsympathetic and awkward situation creating coups.
Yeah, that's fair. We have a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
The angelic choir is particularly fitting for this one, Dave, because at Kimberly L. Hudson on Twitter wants us to list 5 ways Angel Clarence could have intervened and fixed the episode. Well, for starters, he could have probably fulfilled Donna's wish and made everyone go back in time to where no kind of sexual assault happened.
Failing that, he could at least have relieved her of her back pain and, by extension, us of this downward curlicue.
Yes, he could have sunk Noah's boat, ridding us of the hunters forever.
He could have created a studio in which David could go jam with the band at any time he liked, not have to pay for it.
He could change Glenn's heart and make him not want to beat up any suspects or potential perps. Here comes Dave with a special bonus sixth.
Is that the same episode where the bus dematerializes?
Yes.
Okay, so he does that, but with the guy who rapes Val's penis. So the rape never happened.
He dematerializes Noah's penis. I like it.
Uh-huh.
That makes five. And we have a special new feature. Sarah, tell us all about it.
Sassy Magazine's March 92 cover, among other stories, teases, can anyone on 90210 act? We ask an expert. Someone tried to scan this and send it to us on Facebook Messenger, or maybe just to me. I will look it up and have this person's name next week. But I went and got this copy of Sassy, which I'm sure I had like when it originally was published.
Me too.
Bought it off of eBay. Seemed kind of pricey at $20, but totally worth it, if only for the flashback to Caboodle ads. And if you're not following at Teen Time Machine on Instagram, you should be, because you can see all of these ads and more. So I'm going to read this assessment from an acting teacher in this article, which is headlined inside the book, What a Bunch of Thespians. Let me read the intro, and then we will talk a little bit about the acting in general. This part is a bit long, but it's, I think, important lead up. Like the rest of America, we here at Sassy are somewhat obsessed with Beverly Hills 90210. And while we had scrutinized most every other aspect of this cultural phenomenon, we'd failed to ask the most basic question of any art. Is it good? To be completely objective and scientific, we enlisted the help of an expert. He would be one Richard Niles, acting teacher at Marymount Manhattan College and private coach to one of our fave actresses, Adrienne Shelley, of Trust and the Unbelievable Truth. Oh.
R.I.P.
His mission, to evaluate the show's overall impact and level of acting skill. In preparation, Richard viewed three episodes. Kelly almost gets date raped, the nerd gets killed, and Brandon's paralyzed cousin comes to town.
Oh, three excellent choices. Wow.
There's a lot of acting for sure. After he had a couple of days to reflect, we invited him to Sassy HQ, popped the Christmas spectacular in the VCR, and let him talk. So today I will be reading Niles's first, the segment on the acting in general.
Okay.
In all fairness, it's difficult to determine if any of these people can really act because of the nature of the show. That one line is why I decided to do this segment, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it.
90210 is not about depth of any kind. All of the characters are blatant, quote, types. And there are so many characters on each episode, so many subplots, and only an hour to wrap everything up. So there's no way anything can be delved into too deeply. 90210 promotes itself as being cutting edge and addressing all these, quote, hot issues. Rape, AIDS, gun control, drugs, the handicapped, ooh, phrasing. But it deals with these complex topics superficially and can only offer very black and white solutions. I think the strategy is that nothing should get too heavy, and since it's intended for as large an audience as possible, it can never be too controversial either. Otherwise, it might offend people. The scripts are therefore safe and minimalistic, and as a result, so is the acting. It's kind of fast food acting, never risky, never provocative. It's safe in the way that oatmeal is safe. None of the actors are ever off balance. In no way do we get to see a spontaneous moment or character showing any authentic pain or real love, something that we can believe in. In one scene, I forget which, there is a shot of one of the actresses with a tear on one cheek and it never moves. We are not actually seeing her in distress, we are being told. And there's a big difference between getting told and being shown a story. For one thing, you don't get as involved. You get hooked by the fantasy of these sexy, gorgeous, rich kids going to this idealized high school, but you're not really connected emotionally. Because what makes acting fascinating and engaging is not the result, but the process. Being able to see people actually thinking or trying not to cry, for example. It should also be this great tension of not knowing what's going to happen next, as in real life. This is what any acting teacher looks for, things an actor will do to surprise or illuminate. A classic example of this that I refer my students to is Marlon Brando playing with Eva Marie Saint's glove while he's flirting with her in On the Waterfront. The director and editor are partly to blame. They undermine the actors because they're not allowing them or trusting them enough to act. If you notice, they always cut away before an actor can really react, which is classic soap opera technique. But even with those built-in limitations, most of these actors do not rock me. I can basically predict everything they're going to do. Ultimately, though, I doubt many people are tuning into 90210 because they want to see terrific acting. They're tuning it in because it is sexy in a non-threatening way, of course. Shall I read the first acting assessment before we leave you?
Sure.
Okay. Well, all right. Tori Donna is first, but it's so short.
Well, that's fine.
Okay. On Tori/Donna. Isn't she the daughter of Aaron Spelling, the show's producer? That kind of says something. That's literally the entire comment. Shall I read Shannon Brenda and then we can move
on? Let's save that for next time.
Okay. Next time on Again With This, Josh is unmasked, Donna's downward curly cue leads her to plagiarism and rumpled button-downs, and David screws over Jasper for a hip-hop Grammy and a question mark? You'll want to file suit against our visual aids for this and every other episode of 90210. You can find those on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this podcast on Twitter at AWT90210. I'm Uncivil Action Sarah D. Bunting. I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Dramatically Huge Prop Pill Tara Ariano, and she is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our silent producer is Real Boy Scout David T. Cole, and he is on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.